I do want to begin once again by focusing on the idea of hope. And you know, I really appreciated Andrew's approach to understanding the significance of the Lord's Supper. And he made a very good point, I think. All of us came to God through a different set of experiences. And understanding that set of experiences generally helps other people who are in those same kinds of situations. And we know that we're all going to come to God ultimately through baptism. That's what brings us to God. That's what creates the hope. But understanding our relationship to the world that was around us can help us as we try to explain to other people how we got to be Christians. So as you think about your answer that you're going to give, First Peter, as you think about determining what your answer is going to be, give some thought to the ideas that are on the handout that's on the credenza out in the lobby. And let's all be ready to give an answer for our hope. I want to continue to talk about our hope in terms of the mind. I've been really impressed with what First Peter has to say about preparing our minds. You know, this is the way he says it in First Peter 1 at verse 13. He says, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Now, I want to spend some time talking about this chapter of First Peter, the first chapter. This morning, I want to begin our discussion in verse 3. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance, he says, is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So let's think about what that means for us. He first says, in his great mercy, God has given us a new birth into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's mercy gives us a new birth. Jesus explained that to Nicodemus, one of the most often quoted passages in all of the Bible, is Jesus' statement to Nicodemus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then he talked to him about a new birth. And Nicodemus, of course, he's hearing the idea of birth, and he immediately thinks, can't re-enter my mother's womb and be born again. Jesus says, you need to understand I'm talking about the Spirit. How could you be a leader in Israel and not know these things? This new birth that we have, that comes to us in baptism, is so important. It creates in us a living hope. And it's the only way that we can have that living hope. Without baptism, we don't have that. And it's through the resurrection of Jesus. The baptism has its efficacy because Jesus was raised from the dead. And it all boils down to this one final point. Because Jesus lives, I will live. It's not anything that I can do. It's because Jesus lives, I know that I can live. And this inheritance, this thing that we look forward to, is kept in heaven for us. We need to appreciate the reality of heaven, because heaven is not like anything that we experience here. Nothing that I experience here is permanent. Everything fades with time. Our health fades. All the great things that we build fall apart. We look at something like the Roman aqueducts, and we're amazed that they've lasted as long as they have. I was thumbing through some reading the other day, and I ran across a Roman road that's still being used today. But it'll fall apart. Everything around us falls apart. This one thing doesn't. It never fades away. You know, that's why Paul said what he did in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Beginning at about verse 12, you really have to read all the way down through verse 19. We're not going to take all of the time to read this wonderful chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, but just look at the way he begins. If it be preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection from the dead? If there's no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. If Jesus was raised from the dead, a fact that is attested to which there is a great attestation in secular history, our faith means something. You know, the way the Apostle Paul concluded his discussion here is really important. He says, more than that, we're found to be false witnesses of God. Well, we testified about God that he raised Jesus from the dead. But if he did not raise him, in fact, the dead are not raised. Once you die, that's it. If the dead are not raised, then Christ is not raised either. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Everybody who built a life around Jesus that you know lived a futile life. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. if there's nothing beyond this life, what a pitiful man we are. But I know that Jesus was raised from the dead. And the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead tells me that there is heaven. And it tells me that there is a reward there for me. And most importantly, it tells me that God is going to take care of me. He continues, he says, through faith, you're shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation. Through faith, we are shielded by God's power. Now, think about who he's writing to. People who live under the thumb of the Roman Empire, an empire that could just put you to death on a whim. Those people were shielded by God's power. Yeah, Rome could still put them to death, but they could not take away their faith. They could not take away their inheritance. Ephesians 1 at verse 18. The apostle, writing to Christians, says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You need to see something. You need to know that it's real in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty power, the mighty strength, excuse me, that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. What protects Christians? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. No man can take away from us what God gives. Oh, they might put you to death like the Roman Empire could. And today, we might be vilified. We might be mistreated. We probably won't be liked. But no man can take from us what God gives. No man stands before God. And then look at the way he describes their faith. He wants people to understand that their faith is proven to be genuine. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the faith that Job had. You remember what's happening in the first part of the book of Job, Job the first chapter, describes a time when Satan had met with God. He had been wandering the earth, and he came before God, and the Lord said to him, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. When God said that to Satan, he wasn't saying, if you test him, he'll be okay. He wasn't saying, You can do everything you want to say to Job, and he will not leave me. What he was saying to Satan was, have you considered my servant Job? He has proven genuine faith. Wasn't something that he gained through temptation. He had it when God said that to Satan. Wouldn't it be great if God could say to Satan, have you considered my servant Lee? Just great faith. Proven genuineness. Or he might say, have you considered my servant James? He serves me. I wish he could say that about me. And I know that he will. Through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. My inheritance is guaranteed. It cannot be taken away. I can choose not to inherit it. But no man can take it away from me. You want to put on Jesus in baptism? You want to have proven faith? You want to be raised to a new living hope? Do that today. If you want to be baptized, we can do that. You can put on Jesus. He can be your master. Confess that you believe in him. Turn away from the way that you used to live and live for him. And don't give up on your inheritance. Maybe you did. And you've decided that that's not what you want to do. You want to return to God. God will have you back. All you need to do is repent and pray and ask him for his forgiveness.